Epilogue. The way to Terra was clear, and it was not. The Primarchs met once more aboard the Red Tier. They spoke in the Sanctorum Angelus.
The astropathic messages paint a disturbing picture, Gilliman said.
I am grateful that we are receiving them at all, said Sanguinius.
We are receiving intelligence, said the Lion. That is very much to the good, but I agree the news is far from reassuring.
Multiple blockades, Gilliman mused. If Horus didn't anticipate we would defeat the ruin storm, he was leaving nothing to chance.
Your navigators concur with ours, the Lion asked.
They do. A single warp jump to Terra is impossible. The Empyrean is still too unstable. The Lion drummed his fingers on the hilt of the wolf blade.
They'll tie us up, he said. They seek to entangle the fleets and delay us until Terra has fallen.
Our information is far from complete, Sanguinius pointed out. We don't know the full scale of their deployment.
We know enough, said Gilliman. We know they are more than three legions.
Our brother is correct. Even if we hit them with our combined force, that will be nothing more than what Horus wants us to do. Sanguinius hissed with frustration. Then he closed his eyes for a moment. He calmed himself with the knowledge of what had to be. The blockades do not stop me, he said. I will reach Terra, because I must fight Horus. It is written. The fate of the Imperium will be decided then. Even the demon believed that. Gilliman and the Lion exchanged a look. Gilliman was no happier with the idea of predestination than he had been on McCrag. There was far less resistance in the Lion's expression.
Then we must learn how we achieve what we are fated to accomplish, said the Lion.
Gilliman's brow furrowed in sudden pain.
You reach Terra, he said to Sanguinius.
That does not mean we do.
I don't know. I have never seen you or your legions in my visions. Gilliman nodded slowly, looking off into a future that already caused him agony. There is a way, he said. He turned to the Lion. But after all this, we will not reach Terra. We will not fight at our father's side. We hit the blockades ahead of the Blood Angels. We tie Horus's forces up instead of the other way around. We run interference for Sanguinius. The Lion thought for a moment, then said,
We can also draw some of their strength away.
How so?
By applying the lesson I have learned at Epissimus and Davon. Your fleet is the largest. I will attack their bastions, Ribute. I will destroy their homeworlds. That is the judgment that awaits them. Let it come now. Burn the corrupted planets. How many of our treacherous brothers will stay with the blockades if their worlds are directly threatened? Not all of them.
Very well, said Gilliman. It makes sense for my legion to be the battering ram against the blockades. He turned to Sanguinius. We will open the way for you, he sighed. I never thought, if Terra still stood, that I would not be at father's side in the struggle. Perhaps this is my expiation. The pain in his eyes was hard to look at. The Lion was expressionless. Sanguinius wondered if he might not be finding some real satisfaction in his path, in being the hand of judgment. The three Primarchs stood in silence for a few moments. The paths were set. The moment of the Triumvirate's dissolution had truly arrived. They would fight for the common cause, but separately now.
When shall we three meet again? The Angel said.
But he had told his brothers what waited for him on the Vengeful Spirit, and they did not answer. The chamber was dark. Though it was not a cell, it could easily have been. The vault door at Sanguinius's back was sealed. Ascalon and a full squad of the Sanguinary Guard waited beyond it. Ascalon had been reluctant to leave Sanguinius alone with Conrad.
His bonds are strong, Sanguinius had told him.
They are about to become stronger. The stasis coffin stood against the far wall. It was open, angled backwards, waiting for its occupant. It was embedded in a generator that protruded into the room, bulking like a mausoleum's vault. Energy coils sparked,
their power contained, ready to generate the field. The Night Haunter stood in front of the coffin unconcerned.
"You think your faith has been rewarded?"
he said. Sanguinius thought for a moment. Then he said, "I believe you are speaking for yourself. You must be pleased, Conrad. We march towards the ends we both know. Nothing has changed."
"Nothing ever could."
"Really? I don't think you believe that on Davin." Unease, that emotion so strange to see on the Night Haunter's face, appeared again. He covered it by glancing back at the stasis coffin. When he looked back at Sanguinius, his contempt was in place once more.
"So, now you take me back to face our father," he said.
"You will answer for your crimes."
"He isn't going to execute me. We both know that."
"We do," Sanguinius agreed. A new possibility occurred to him. He turned it over and over in his mind before he allowed himself to consider it more than wishful thinking. It rose before him, not a sudden epiphany, but a slow dawn. Forged in darkness, tempered in despair, it was hope, thin as a blade, but oh, how it might serve the light! How it might be salvation! In the midst of its lies and manipulation, Mardale had spoken a truth. There had been a choice. It was possible to alter fate. The question was whether that chance had only occurred on Davin. Sanguinius put his hope to the test. "Father won't have you executed," he said. "I believe he should, but you're right, he won't."
"Prison will be very dull," said Kurz. "I'll miss our conversations."
Sanguinius ignored the taunt. "Father might do worse," he said. He watched Kurz's face closely. "He might forgive you." He struck home. Kurz's mask of contempt fell. The unease returned. The reptilian eyes widened as they saw destiny enter a state of flux. In the storm of emotions that passed in micro-tremors over the Night Haunter, Sanguinius saw anger and doubt. He saw horror again at the thought that the universe really was not as Kurz had known it to be for so long and so absolutely. And Sanguinius saw what he was looking for. He saw the rarest of all things in Kurz's eyes. He saw hope. That was what he needed. That was confirmation. He pushed Kurz into the stasis coffin. The Night Haunter fell back and lay prone, helpless. "He might forgive you," Sanguinius repeated. "I don't. You cannot have that redemption. I won't let you. Rest certain in your destiny. You will have it. I'm not taking you to Father."
"You can't kill me either. I die at the hand of Father's assassin."
"I'm not going to kill you. I am going to jettison your coffin into the void. The assassin will find you when the time comes. It may be millennia, Conrad." The hope vanished forever from Kurz's eyes, replaced by a different form of horror. "You claim destiny can't be altered," Sanguinius continued. "So be it. Yours will be as you say." He stepped back and depressed a pad on the side of the coffin, generating the stasis field. It froze Kurz in mid-scream. Sanguinius turned from his brother. He moved to the vault door. He did not open it immediately. Before he saw Ascalon, before he looked upon any of his sons, he thought about his fate and hope. He would meet Horus on the vengeful spirit. He accepted the inalterability of his fate to that point, but he had learned that destiny could change. Perhaps there was still a choice to come, only it was not his. Horus was not Kurz. What he had been was too magnificent to be lost utterly. Sanguinius would summon it again. He had passed through the Delphos and triumphed. He would save Horus. The spear thrust that had felled the undivided and pierced the ruin storm was not done yet. He would see it unmake the dark to come. He reached for the vault door, ready to see his blood angels. His decisions were clear. his path shining. He would walk this road and save his sons from the black rage. Metal ground against metal as he opened the door. The sound was high-pitched. Its reverberations sounded oddly down the hall, as if they were the echoes of a scream yet to come. That was Ruinstorm by David Annandale, read by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2017.